Hello and welcome to the first episode of the Moffitt's Hotel 2021 podcast. I am David Torres.
And I am Brandon Way.
And today we have a special guest for our first episode. Our special guest today is Ms. Scott McCahill, who works in human resources for the Barnes Foundation.
Welcome, Ms. McCahill, and thank you for being a part of the Moffitt's Hotel podcast.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here with you, Brandon and David.
Thanks.
Can you please tell our guests a little about the Barnes Foundation?
Sure. The Barnes Foundation is in Philadelphia, and we are an art museum, and we're special in a couple ways. The first way is that we have all kinds of cool art from across time and space. So art that is 100 years old and art that is hundreds and hundreds of years old from right here in Pennsylvania and even really far away, like Africa and Egypt and Europe, countries like France and Italy. And we put all those artworks all together and we squish them all up onto a wall so that we can help the art talk to each other and even tell jokes to each other. So that helps all of us think about how we can make art ourselves and think about how we can learn from the artists in the past. What were they trying to tell us in their artwork? So it's a very fun place to work and very beautiful also.
What exactly does your job entail and what made you find a museum?
Wow, David, good question. My job is to take care of all the staff at the Barnes. And help them do their jobs well. So I help the teachers teach about the artwork. I help the IT, what we call technologists, like all of you and Mr. Domino. We love technology. We even have virtual reality headsets. So if you can't come to the art museum one day, we could bring the art museum to you. So I help everyone who has a specialty superpower do their superpower and have fun and be safe and be good teammates together. And I started working here at this museum because in our museum, we really care about making it a welcoming place for everyone. Mm-hmm. Good question, David.
So Ms. McHale, did you have to study anything specific in college or university before your career?
Good thing you asked. Yes, I have a virtual background, and I know this is a podcast where people can't see, but I'm holding up a certificate for you all to see that I had to get special training in HR. That means human resources, helping people work together as a team at work. Even grownups need help to be good teammates sometimes, just like how you all work at school, to be good friends to each other and work together when you're learning. So I got extra work with that. And before I worked in HR, I was a teacher, just like Mr. Domino. And we were even teachers together. That's how I got this fun invitation to visit with you. So Brandon, a little bit of teacher and a little bit of helping grownups is how I got this job.
Mm-hmm. So how many years did it take to get your degree?
Well, it took me 4 years to go to college. It took me 2 more years to go to college again. And it took me 1 more year to go to college again. Your audience is looking at me like, what? That was after I finished high school. So you can tell I like school. I like learning new things.
What do you major in? Do you have multiple degrees?
I have a degree in philosophy. That means thinking deeply about ideas and people and the world. And I also studied political science, like our government, like our schools, like people who take care of us in our day-to-day work. I have a degree in education and a degree in leadership and trying to support others like you all to be leaders and always to be growing and learning myself, too.
Going back to the Barnes, how long have you been working there?
I worked at the Barnes almost 2 years, but David, I'll tell you this. The Barnes has been in Philadelphia, in this area, in and around Philadelphia for 100 years. And if you could believe it, my grandpa worked at the Barnes. He was the person who raked the leaves, and he took art classes, and he told my dad the art classes were so cool. And then my dad told me, hey, this is a beautiful place. And somehow, believe it or not, it's a small world. Eventually, I even got a job here. So 2 years, David, but I think there was more to it behind the scenes, this longer story too. Good question.
That is amazing. So what attracted you to work from the Barnes Foundation?
I like art and I like people. I want you all to be able to come and visit the museum. I want you to have fun. I want you to decide, ooh, I like that artwork, but not that one. I think the artist was trying to say this or that. I want you all to come see the jokes. We have paintings that talk to sculptures and sculptures that that can even share some of the story. Like, what's the artist trying to say in one piece of art or another? We even use things that you might study in math, like symmetry, like line, shape, color. And we use that to make sure that not just someone with a lot of college degrees can enjoy art. All of us can enjoy some artwork. I hope Mr. Domino takes you on our website, on our deep Zoom. And it's a 3D image that you can go everywhere inside the art gallery, and you can go all the way up close to the art, even more close that you could go in real life, and check out every single detail that the artist put in the painting or the drawing or the sculpture. And you might say, huh, I could do that too. And you might be the next amazing artist.
Can you please tell us how Albert Barnes was able to make the Barnes Foundation what it is today?
I sure can. Dr. Barnes was a scientist. He went to Central High School right here in Philly. You all might know someone who went to Central High School. He went there a long time ago, and he loved science, and he invented a medicine. The medicine was called Ardrol. It helps our eyes to be healthy, even when we're little itty bitty babies. So he made this super medicine for babies, and it got really rich. And he spent his money on artwork. He spent his money on art that people back then thought was weird. And they thought artwork should look very much like real life. And Dr. Barnes thought, no, art is the better, the more different it is, the more colors, the more shapes, the more creative it is. And so he started collecting art from all over the world. And back then, in the United States, English speakers, mostly people who were white, people who were wealthy, those people said, artwork is made by people who look and sound like us. Dr. Barnes said, are you kidding me? There are people all over the world from many cultures, traditions, and identities making amazing artwork. Let's bring it all together to talk to each other. And that's still what we do today, 100 years later.
I have a couple of more questions about Albert Barnes. Was art and the museum a hobby for him, or did he consider it a job?
That is a great question, and I don't know. Dr. Barnes was mysterious. His job was as a scientist, and that's how he got rich, like we talked about before, but his passion and love was artwork. He definitely went on lots of trips, met lots of artists, and spent all day and sometimes even all night. There are legends that he would stay up all night long moving the art on the walls and changing it and making it how he wanted it to look and talk to each other. I have a colleague who thinks that the artworks come to life in the night and play games and play around with each other, kind of like in the movie Night at the Museum. If you all haven't seen that movie, it's really funny. Okay, some people are nodding and saying, I've seen that movie. It's so funny. And I don't know if I believe it, but it would be really cool if our paintings and sculptures came to life and had fun when we weren't there too. So I don't know if he thought of it as his job, but he definitely thought about it as what made his heart full. And all the way until he passed away, every single day, and probably a lot of the night, he played and he learned and he shared his art with so much passion.
What do you think Albert Bourne wanted his foundation in Philly?
Well, I think it's because he is a Philadelphian. He built a special house on City Avenue, if you all know where that is, and that's where the artwork was for almost 80 years. He lived in the same building where the art museum was, and he actually would not have called it a museum. He would have said the Barnes Foundation. This is like a school. He wants everyone to come and learn about the art. He says, don't have art because it's pretty and look at it. He says, look at art to say, what can I learn about what the artist wanted? How can I enjoy it myself? So I think it was important to him to have that close by to him because it was so meaningful to his heart. He wouldn't have put it somewhere else. Good question, David.
Why do you think Albert Barnes wanted to educate his workers about arts?
Oh my goodness, great point. So Brandon, let me fill everyone else in. His first students were people who worked for him. Remember he had that invention with the eye medicine? His eye medicine had to be made by someone. So he had a factory here in Philly and they got so good, remember teamwork? They got so good as a team making their medicine that they had extra time in their workday, kind of like if you ever get extra time in your school day to play a game or do an extension. What they did together as a team is they looked at art. He brought art even into the factory where his team worked. So he wanted them to learn about the art because back then, only people who were very fancy or very rich got to see beautiful artwork. And he said, what? Art is for everybody. Come on now. Check this out. Let's enjoy it together. And so that was important to him. And he shared with the people who were close to him, like my grandpa.
Quickly, how is the Barnes affected by COVID?
Oh, I love that question. You know, David, many places are closed or many places are quieter than usual while we're being safe because of COVID. So at the Barnes Foundation, we actually, we bought and learned how to use robots. I know that no one saw that coming. We got these very friendly robots called Temi, and Temi helps us know where are our visitors. We don't want to have any crowded places where a person can't use their social distancing to stay safe right now. So Temi talks to our customers and scans our receipts using a QR code. I know some of you use those on your phone and helps us to have a nice, open, welcome, peaceful, beautiful place for folks to visit. But that just means we have to say, come with a reservation instead of coming whenever you want.
Okay, well, we're just about out of time for this episode. Can you tell our audience where they can go to see the Barnes and follow it online?
Absolutely. We are available 24/7, 365 online at www.barnesfoundation.org. And we are IRL in real life at 21st and the Ben Franklin Parkway downtown in Philadelphia. We would love to see you and yours, people from near and far, come and enjoy our artwork, come and be inspired, and bring your sketchbook even to create your own art in response to the beautiful pieces you see here. Brandon, David, Mr. Domino, and your whole club, it is so terrific to have gotten to share a little bit about the Barnes Foundation with you all this afternoon, and I can't wait to see and hear more about the great successes of your podcast. Congratulations and thanks for having me.
Thank you for being our guest today. We appreciate it. Come back anytime.
Awesome. Thanks, everybody. Have a great afternoon. Great job.
Well, that's been all of the Moffat Telltale podcast. See you all on another planet.
Don't forget to follow us on social media at Sean Moffat Elementary and this other site at philasd.org/Moffat to figure out when the next episode of the Moffat Telltale goes up.
See you all next time.
We always try to do